We're continuing our series on the book of Acts, and we're going to look at chapter 3 today. We've seen in the previous two chapters that after Jesus returned to heaven, the Holy Spirit came on those people who were in the upper room. They were there praying, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And as they went out and spoke of what God was doing, this had a huge impact on the people in Jerusalem. Peter preached a message telling of Jesus, of his death and resurrection. And on the spot, 3,000 people believed. They turned from their sins, they repented of their sins, and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. We saw last week how Acts 2 finished with a community being formed. The message of Jesus united those who believed. And as they lived out the teachings of Jesus, they saw amazing things happening. They shared what they had. They helped others. They met together. They worshipped God, and they saw people continuing to respond to the truth. It was still a group of people who saw themselves as simply as Jews who had received the Messiah that God had promised long ago. It wasn't an organized church or a separate group as such. They saw themselves as Jews who had received this Messiah that God had promised. They saw in Jesus that he was that Messiah. So they continued to go to the temple just as they had done before. As we look at the beginning of Acts 3, we see that Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. This was at 3 in the afternoon. They were going there to pray just as they usually did, to go there and seek God, to worship God, to pray just as they had done before. They didn't think, we have all these people we need to look after. We have a heap of things we have to organise. It was quite amazing, you know, on that day of Pentecost that 3,000 people believed. But they didn't think, oh, we've got all these people. We've got too much to do. We don't have enough time. We've got too much to do. It won't matter if we just skip this prayer time. No one's really going to see and God will understand. Every day they went to worship at the temple. Acts chapter 3, verse 2. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. This man was over 40 years old and he'd been crippled from birth. He'd never been able to walk. All his life he'd had to be carried everywhere. He was unable to look after himself, unable to move around. All he could do was sit there and beg. Every day he was taken to the temple gates, where he would sit hoping that he would get something from the people passing by, something that would help him to survive. It was a good place to beg. People would be passing by regularly. They would be bringing their offering to the temple, and some of them would be willing to give at least a few coins to a beggar. It might have been done as an act of compassion, seeing someone else so much worse off than themselves, and that moved them to give something to him. Or it may have been done to win favour with God. As they go into the temple, they can tell God of this good deed they've just done and hopefully win favour with God. This would have been a depressing existence for the man. He had to rely on other people. He couldn't move away regardless of what the conditions were like, whether it was rain or heat or animals. Whatever was there, he had to put up with it. He was there each day hoping that someone would respond to his need. Having to put up with abuse or just being ignored as if he didn't count at all, as if he was nothing. He was stuck there with very little hope. There had been great excitement and great happenings in Jerusalem over the last while. Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit had affected and changed many people. Yet despite all this, here was this man still in need. Nothing had changed for him. He'd missed out on receiving healing or help from Jesus when Jesus was alive, and now it would seem like it was just too late. The man would have had trouble getting close to Jesus when Jesus was on earth. Remember the crowds that were around Jesus, the big crowds that flocked around Jesus. This man needed to have some enterprising friends, like the man who was paralyzed, who was lowered through the roof into the room where Jesus was. Unfortunately, this man didn't seem to have those friends that could bring him to Jesus like that when Jesus was on earth. All this man had was people who carried him to the temple so he could beg. They may have been family members helping him out like that, Or it could have been someone who took a bit of what he got each day. You know, that was a payment for bringing him there. He would have heard what was happening. Being at the temple gate, he heard people talking about what was going on in Jerusalem. There would have been lots of talk about all these strange happenings. People who were part of it, talking about the excitement, what had happened to them and what they'd experienced. Other people were opposed to it, saying, this isn't God, this is not right. And then other people who were just totally confused by what was going on. So the man would have heard all this talking, all these people passing by talking like that. But for him lying there in his situation, the excitement, the miracles, all that had been happening didn't seem relevant to him. It didn't seem to affect him at all with how he was. He sees Peter and John about to enter the temple, so he asks them for money. He called out to anyone who was passing by, just hoping someone would take mercy on him, someone would help him out. It didn't matter who they were. So much had happened since the day of Pentecost, and with all the responsibility of these new believers needing to be talked about Jesus, Peter and John were busy men. As they walked along, they were most likely discussing what had been happening, marvelling at all that God had been doing, speculating about the future, about what was going to happen next. In that situation, they could have easily ignored the man's cries, too busy to even realise he was even there. After all, they'd probably seen him many times when they came to the temple. So he becomes so familiar that they really just ceased to actually see him. He was just someone who was there, and they could very easily just not really even see him, just pass him by. They could have, even if they'd seen him, felt, well, we can't be looking out and helping people all the time. We've already got so many people that are calling on us to help them, so many needs that we're having to respond to. They could have thought, well, we don't want to be distracted. We're going in to pray. We're going in to worship God, and we don't want any distractions that would stop us from doing that or hinder us in any way. They knew they weren't wealthy, so they could have thought, well, there's not much point us doing anything. It's better if someone who is wealthy comes along and helps him. You know, someone else who's got some money can really help him out. Yet on this occasion, the Holy Spirit opens their eyes in a different way to the man. In verse 4 of Acts 3, it says both Peter and John look directly at him. And then Peter tells the man to look at him. As they look at him like this, as they focus their attention on him and they get his attention focused on them, they see him for who he is, someone who God has created and who is loved by God. They don't see him as a pathetic creature to be pitied or a nuisance to be ignored and hurried past as quickly as possible. They give him attention. They see him as a person and they see his real need. The man's been looking around and calling out to whoever is passing. So he's no longer looking at Peter and John. All he won from them was just some money. There are more people passing by. It's a busy time as people come for the time of prayer. And he doesn't want to miss out on any possibility. He doesn't care who helps him. He just wants help. It doesn't matter who it comes from as long as he gets it. Peter wants to do something that is much greater than just helping him get by. He wants the man to be aware of what's going to happen because it's going to be something amazing. In Acts chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I wonder, as a man hears the first part of that, whether his hopes had been raised quickly sank. He probably thought, why is he speaking to me if he doesn't have any money to give me? I don't want to be told that I or my parents must have been such bad sinners for me to have been born crippled. That was one of the views that was held at that time, that if someone was disabled in any way, then it must have been sin on the part of their parents, or even the baby before the baby was born must have sinned somehow. And he's thinking, I don't want to be told that. I don't even want nice words. I don't want to have some sort of nice thing said to me. I want something that will feed me. I want help that will give me food, that will let me get by, that will let me survive. He's also likely to be bewildered. If he could walk, he wouldn't be there begging. when he hears mention of Jesus, he may have thought, well, yes, but Jesus is dead. I know Jesus was alive, but then he was killed. And I know some people are saying he's alive again, but I haven't seen him. He's not right here in front of me to help me. Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, is aware of the power that he has. He's willing to use what God has given him. Remember how Jesus, before his death in John 14:12, said to his followers that because he was going to the Father, that his followers would do even greater things than what Jesus had done. Jesus was telling his disciples about the Holy Spirit that was coming when he returned to heaven, how the Holy Spirit living in each believer would help them carry out the works of Jesus. Peter, having experienced this, realized he had received power from God, and that power could be used to bring change to others, not just through preaching the truth about Jesus, but also doing the same works that Jesus did. God calls people to use what he's given them in the way that he directs them. And Peter knew that God wanted to use him to heal this man. Peter didn't think the man was too insignificant, or that it wasn't the right time, or that he wouldn't be able to heal someone who was crippled like this. He didn't wait for the man to ask to be healed. He responds to the Holy Spirit, knowing it was what God wanted to do. Peter was willing to use what God had given him. As we see, he said to the man, "But what I do have, I give you." In 2 Kings 4, there's a story about a prophet who died owing debts that his widow couldn't pay, and his children were going to be sold into slavery. The widow comes to the prophet Elisha to ask for help. Elisha asks her, how can he help? What does she have in her house? What does she have that could be used to get her out of this situation? She replies, saying that she has nothing at all, but then adds, except a little oil. God performs a miracle with the oil so that it multiplies and she's able to sell it and pay off her debts. But her first response is to say that she has nothing and to disregard the oil because she doesn't see it as important. She doesn't see how it could be useful because it's too small, too insignificant. Yet God is able to use whatever he has given us, no matter how insignificant or small we think it is. We can think the abilities, the talents, the resources that God has given us aren't that much, aren't that useful. But if we're willing for God to work through us, using these things, we will see outcomes beyond what we could have imagined. It would be interesting to know the different thoughts passing through the man's head when Peter spoke to him. Probably disappointment when Peter said that he had no silver or gold, especially as a man may have thought he was about to get a big gift. And that's why Peter had called, the man's attention to him, so that Peter and John could be praised for their generosity. With everyone seeing this great thing they were doing, he could have thought, well, they're going to give me so much and they want to make sure everyone's watching and so that then they'll be praised and so on. So when they said they had no silver and gold, he was probably incredibly disappointed. They would have been more disappointed when the name of Jesus was mentioned, with the man thinking, well, yes, if I could have got to Jesus when Jesus was on earth, then I could have been helped. There was probably more confusion and maybe even annoyance when he's told to walk. He'd be like, can't he see my legs are crippled? I'm not just sitting here begging because I've got nothing else to do. Peter goes further. He doesn't leave it with just this instruction to walk, thinking, well, I've given the man his chance. If he had enough faith and stood up, he'd be healed. It's up to him. If he misses out, it's because he wasn't willing to try. Acts chapter 3, verse 7. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Peter helps the man to stand up. And as the man responds and tries to stand, rather than telling Peter to leave him alone if he can't give him any money, strength comes back into the man's feet and ankles. Peter expects God to move, so he lifts the man up to his feet. And the man responds, even though he wasn't sure what was going on, he could have easily, from his viewpoint, ended up just in a heap on the ground. It is clear it's God's doing, because the feet and ankles, which had never been able to support him, which had been useless and now completely healed and now strong and are able for him to walk, to move around. Acts 3, verse 8. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. The man was willing to believe completely in what God had done. He doesn't start walking really tentatively. He doesn't start just sort of shuffling his feet a little bit and thinking, well, I'm not sure what's going on, so I might fall over. Instead of which, he totally embraces what God's done by not only walking but also jumping, something that puts heaps of stress and strain on the ankles and feet. He doesn't think he better be careful just in case. He totally goes for it. He is so excited and thrilled by what has happened to him. And he's clear where the praise and worship is to go, because he praises and worships God, not Peter and John. His healing certainly has an effect on those around them. Acts chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What happened to this man didn't just affect him, it got other people's attention. What seemed like a simple act of kindness to one person gave witness to many of God's power and love. It can be easy to read this story and assume that everyone in need will be healed as long as we go around and pray for them, as long as someone has enough faith. Then we can get left feeling disappointed and frustrated when we don't see this happening. This man wasn't healed when Jesus was on earth, nor was Peter going around looking for people he could perform miracles on. Peter was doing something he did every day. Probably the day before when he walked to the temple, he walked past this man without stopping. In God's plan for this man's life, this was a day when he was going to be healed, and Peter responded to the Holy Spirit's prompting. This man wouldn't have been the only beggar at the temple gates. There would have been others there who had a need, but didn't receive healing or other help that day. We're not going to be able to change everything, just as Peter didn't try to heal everyone there. He didn't heal this man, then go around and start, you know, praying for all the other people or whatever. He was called to heal this man, and that's what he did. And it shouldn't discourage us when we think, well, I can't help everyone. I can't do this for everyone. We're not called to do everything ourselves. But each of us, as part of a body, can bring some change, can help even just one person. We are to seek God, hear from him, and do what he says. We're not to be so caught up with our own concerns that we miss the Holy Spirit's prompting, the Holy Spirit leading us in a certain way, in a certain place, or a certain situation. Despite Peter's responsibilities, despite that he was going to a particular place at a particular time, he was willing to stop and do what God said. He didn't say, if I help you, I'll be late for the prayer time, so I better not stop. Maybe another day when I'm not so busy. He let the Holy Spirit speak to him and he used what he'd been given to do good. In the midst of a normal and everyday activity, something he did every day, he was willing to be used by God to bring change. He didn't view the man as too insignificant or that it was not possible because of the man's age or condition. He let God work through him and he made it clear that it was God doing this. In Acts 3:12, Peter asks the crowd who are now gathered around, astounded by this happening, why did it surprise them? He asks them, why were they staring at Peter and John as if it was by their own godliness or their own power that this man was walking again? Peter takes this opportunity to once again, because such a crowd has gathered, Peter takes this opportunity to once again share about Jesus and what he has done. He tells the crowd how God glorified Jesus, who is the holy and righteous one. He tells how Jesus was given over by the crowd to be crucified, but that God raised him from the dead. And he tells them to repent and to turn to God. And he makes it clear to the crowd in verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. As we participate in God's story, we need to be responsive to the Holy Spirit and see what we have from God that can be given to help others in a way that does good and glorifies God. As we go about our everyday activities, we need to have eyes that see God's plan for that place and that time for the people around us. Are there people we see regularly who feel that their situation is hopeless, that they just have to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and nothing will change, nothing will get better? It's just the same sort of drudgery each day, nothing's changing. We need to look at what they really need, the hope that's found in Jesus. I'm sure Peter and John could have given the man a coin to help him, but they saw that his need was much deeper. He needed the hope and life found in Jesus, and as he was physically healed, his heart and those of the people around were open to the truth of God, as Peter then shared the gospel message. I think at times we can feel like the widow with the oil. We don't think we have anything. We can't really do much. We need help. We think, I couldn't talk to a crowd of people like Peter did. And we don't realise that God just wants us to talk to that one person that he's put alongside us, someone who needs to hear about Jesus, someone that we see every day, and they have that need for Jesus. And God prompts us, the Holy Spirit in us prompts us to talk to them. But we think, well, I don't know how to do that. But God, the Holy Spirit's there leading us to talk to them. We think, I don't have faith for healing, without realising that God just wants us to pray and to see what he does. He calls us just to pray, to trust him and to pray. We have the Holy Spirit living us. We have the power of God with us. We're to use what God has given us, what God gives us in each and every situation, as the Holy Spirit directs us, as we're told by God what to do when. And it won't be the same in each situation. Sometimes it might be to pray for someone to be healed, and we see God work. Or it might be to share about Jesus with someone in despair and see hope and life come back into them as they respond to him. It may be to help someone with what resources we have. We mightn't think it's much, but it will help someone else and it will help open their eyes to who God is and how much God loves them. We need to be open to do as God directs and see what he does as we respond to his leading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story in Acts. We thank you for the way that this lame man was healed completely, Lord God, as Peter and John responded to your leading, as they listened to the Holy Spirit, as they went around their everyday activity, and yet they stopped listening to the Holy Spirit and did what you called them to do. And Lord, we know that all praise and glory goes to you, even as Peter pointed out to the crowd. It was not Peter and John's doing, it was God himself. And Lord, we pray for open eyes and open hearts to see people around us who have needs, Lord. And then to be responsive to your Holy Spirit as he prompts us to reach out to them, Lord. Not to be trying to do stuff ourselves, but to really just respond to your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to the people around us. Lord, give us that courage, give us that boldness, but most of all, give us listening ears and hearts to what you are saying, Lord God, to see people with your eyes, Lord, and to do what you direct, Lord God. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus, Lord, who was crucified and who was raised from the dead and now lives in glory with the Father. We thank you, Lord God. I pray that you'll just speak to each of us, Lord, as we go this week about our everyday business, that you will just speak to us and just show us what you desire from us, that we won't disregard what we have as being insignificant, as being too small, but we will see what you have given us and we will be willing, Lord, to use it for your glory, Lord. Amen.